I say the house trip five times. ELCV trip five times. So maybe meant to be. Huh? Okay, let us stand and get ready for puja. Huh? You start off with a tray. Yeah? Sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Oh, never mind. Sadhu, sadhu. Sa that PG. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You all continue to pass on, don't worry. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. You can be seated. Then we can start the puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, then the virya, spiritual zeal, then pay respect mindfully. We will start the puja chanting now. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We'll start to recite the vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Vivachanda padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang. Pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina. Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin. Pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang. Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang. Adivasetu nobante paniyang parikapitang. Anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang. Adivasetu nobante pali parikapitang. Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivasetu nobante gojana parikapitang. Anukampang upadaya patigang hatu mutamang. Now let us make aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flower to the Best One strengthen our faith and sternly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become palas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripuja. Bhutang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, good. You can be seated. Yeah? Relax yourself. Body and mind. Yeah? Make sure it's fully relaxed. Then maintain some form of attention so that we can develop the meditation. Now we are off the light, yeah? Then you all can commence your meditation. So as usual, yeah? Hopefully by now most of you already clear as to how to train your mind and develop this meditation. If you still not sure, read through the blue book on meditation, understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. There are two, I think. One earlier one, there is another one, 12 September 2013. So read through them to develop clearer understanding. Essentially, it's just to train your mind to be heedful and mindful if your spiritual faculty are still not stable, not established. That's why mental hindrances are there. That's why you cannot become peaceful. You cannot develop the meditation. So the reason for them to give you object of meditation is just a skillful means to anchor the mind and to train the mind so that the mind does not wander off and become heedless. But that type of training you do without understanding is of no use because you don't know what it is for, the purpose and all those things. So when you understand, you do it with understanding, it becomes different. So mind sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking, the five mental hindrance, is an initial step. If you still need to do, you do. Yeah, it's very useful, very helpful. Then after you have developed the mind, the that is more peaceful, more calm, and more aware, because you just feel from your forehead, then you relax, you don't think. So this will help you to decondition your usual heedless thinking, thereby bringing about a more peaceful mind, more calm mind. Then mind sweeping method also train you to actually develop the ability to place your mind at whatever location you want to place it. You want it to be at the forehead, you will be at the forehead. You want it to be at the heart, you will stay at the heart. So that's why this mind sweeping method is very good, very conducive to train the mind to develop the inner peace, the inner calmness, and the inner awareness. Because initially, before your spiritual faculty are there, you need to do this so that you will decondition your usual heedless thinking and bring about inner peace, inner calmness. Then you combine with metta, loving kindness, to bring about inner well-being. So this prepare you to develop the meditative mind. Then after that, you need to stabilize this mind. That's why the method and technique come in. So the Buddha recommended anapanasati. So you need to anchor your mindfulness and stabilize it through anapanasati. You can, or you have whatever skillful means or method and technique that you are used to, you can use them too. Then when you are able to develop the training until this mindfulness is very stable, you must always remember the four support. First support to develop this awareness-based meditation, or some tradition call it the silent illumination. Silent means tranquil, still, quiet. Illumination means with awareness within, not the one that is an energy field in concentration or in absorption, where the mind is not aware, is in absorption. So that one is samatha meditation. But if you haven't experienced it, you want to experience it, you can, it's up to you. So there are some meditators who go into calmness first. Then after that, when their mind is more stable, they relax into it. Then they release it out, develop the silent mind, which is sati. That can also be done. So either way, whichever that suits you, you can use them. Then like I said, the four support is very important. It's on the whiteboard. The first one is to relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then wherever you feel got tension, got stress within, you just relax, relax, and relax it. Feel it soothingly, relax, and silent everything. So relaxation is key. Whatever mind state that arises, you just relax into it. Then maintain awareness, just silent it. Aware. Don't try to know. You need to train. After you have trained, just silent everything. Then this mind become very sensitive. This mind will enter sati on its own. So as you relax, as you stabilize your mind, as sati develop more and more, there is no hindrance, because when you are in sati, there is no thought. No thought means no duality, no views and opinion to stir the mind, no more heedless thinking, no more habitual tendency. So you just relax and silent. That's why in the inner peace, inner well-being, you relax into it. Then you will experience various mind state. Initially, it's a very calm state of mind called piti, or spiritual calmness, spiritual rupture, some people call it. Then as you continue to relax and make it more refined, this piti will transform and become sukha. Sukha is another mind state which is more peaceful, more quiet. They call it spiritual bliss. It's blissfulness of mind. Their mind becomes very blissful. Not only the spiritual calmness is there, Now the calmness has become so refined, it becomes so blissful. Most people will like it and they will get attached to this mind state. But like the Buddha said, sukha is not an enlightenment factor. So you have to understand it for what it is, just silent and experience it, no harm. But don't every time look for it, don't cling to it. They are all condition arising, mind state. When the mind is properly trained, then it is able to arise them. So if you are patient, silent, it will come. Then after that, as you continue to relax into it and just allow it to be, all your object of meditation, whatever you use, whether anapanasati or rising and falling or adornment or chanting, they become more and more refined, more and more subtle, until it becomes so still, until there is no movement of mind. Then the chanting also will stop by itself. Then the chanting will chant by itself within your mental, within your brain there. Then you just silently aware, means the chanting and the awareness become one, or the very subtle, tranquil, peaceful mind, they call it pasati, stillness of mind, tranquility of mind, the silent mind or the meditative mind. Then you just maintain that silence, be with it, stay there. You can anchor it to the subtle breathing if you can. Otherwise, you can allow it to drop to your heart area and stay there. Then you feel whatever you can detect, relax into it, then anchor the awareness there. It can be your heartbeat or it can be any vibration that you detect. But don't look for it. Just silent, relax and aware around the area. It will detect by itself. Then you will know finally where the gateway is. When you are very skillful, very stable, it will detect on its own. That's why the third support is 24-hour awareness or maintenance of that mindfulness, that silent mind, the stillness of mind, so that it becomes very stable. Then when it becomes stable, you actually develop samadhi. Samadhi is a very stable type of pasati. Then when you have sati, pasati, and samadhi, you have to carry this mind state into daily life so that you can insight into phenomena. You can awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature, existence, all this. You will come to understand them through your silent mind. It will insight into all this. So meditation is very simple. You just relax, silent, and maintain this clarity. And finally, when you become very skillful, the last support is trust. But this one most of you would not do until you have developed your meditation to a very advanced stage. Trust means no more using thought. Just allow the nature to do the meditation. The nature will locate the gateway. Then the yin and yang energy from your external cultivation, they will melt inside. And later on, even your life force or the karmic force that you receive from your karmic nature, every pulse of life that go in, you will understand how to use it. Then it will actually help to develop the internal transformation. But there is no thought involved. Trust. Trust means you trust your nature to do by itself. Then it will activate by itself. It will move by itself. No interference by the thought. That is the final support. Okay, with that, I will let you develop the meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Okay. But they also still want to meditate, you can continue. But they also have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. The meditative mind, the silent mind for as long as you can. And this is the mind that you have trained. When the mind is trained, is heedful, is no longer heedless. Means you can use this mind to meditate, to cultivate, to live life. So this life, this mind that you have trained will become the meditative mind. It will listen to you. It will most of the time be just aware, silent. Then you want it to be aware of whatever activity or any consciousness or mental movement within your own form and mind, you can use it. The awareness become very different, it's very stable. You can see very clearly through the direct seeing of every activity that arises within your sixth sendo. Then you can also understand many things very clearly. Then you can see your mental intention very clearly upon contact, what happened, how your mind stir, and how the essential Dhamma, they arise and pass away. Then through the understanding of all this, you can develop right view to straighten your view. And that's what meditation is all about. Develop this silent mind, the meditative mind, or what they call mindfulness or heedfulness, and use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, especially the four foundation of mindfulness. That as you cultivate, you become heedful, more and more mindful, more and more mindful. And heedfulness is key to meditation. If you are not heedful, you cannot meditate. If you are heedful, you are home, the Buddha said. The heedful never die. Whereas if you are heedless, you are incapable of having this type of meditative mind in the midst of life. Then the Buddha said, you are heedless, and the heedless are as if dead. No chance of any spiritual salvation or cultivation. So meditation is very simple when you understand. The key to meditation is to cultivate the five spiritual faculties. Then develop the stability of mindfulness, to be mindful in the midst of life, especially the daily life, daily mindfulness. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Then after that, we will continue our Dhamma sharing. I will read to you the English translation, Evocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tas Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa 那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯，那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈多萨玛萨布达斯，伊提贝苏巴嘎瓦阿拉哈。Sama sabdo vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anotaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manosana buddho bhagavati.Sakkato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditatbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Duchupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yapatipanno Bhagavato SavakasangoSamicchipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atha Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato SavakasangoAhuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakkineyo, Anjalikaraneyo, Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Tripaja. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. And we'll go on to our next Dhamma session. It's supposed to be meditation reporting, and Q&A, But just now when I came in, Brother Suyan told me there was a question somebody posted. Then I think that lady who posted the question is not here today.But Brother Suyan want me to explain what that question mean in relationship with the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha. I think it's a very important clarification because she asked this question. Is it, I think, one of her sister was going through a verybad patch, very like the life is full of problem, not small. Then they, I think, ask around, there must be some of this fortune teller or what, I also not very sure, but they were told if you want to change your luck, Jin Wan in Cantonese, they can help you.But all is about, I think, usually you have to pay them, then they help you. Then somewhere in between I was told, the sister willing to take over the bad luck of the other sister. Then after they did that, they say, do not exchange clothing on the no one. Then that sister that took over say, bad luck start to come to her. So what is your view based on your understanding of Dhamma? What do you think is the right view? A lot of people, when they are in trouble, they go and look for all this. So based on what you have learned through the Buddha Dhamma, what do you think is the real understanding or correct understanding, the right view? We actually have it in our chanting book. If only you understand the essential Dhamma, then you understand. What is the thing that decides your life? So karma. So if the Jin One didn't teach you how to change the way you live your life and develop the avoidance of negativity, cultivate wholesomeness and purify the mind like the advice of the Buddha, whatever you do is not going to be effective, I tell you. You're wasting your time. Maybe they make you like believe yourself that, oh, after Jin One already, your one soul should be very good already. That's why the people who believe in feng shui keep on changing feng shui. It doesn't mean that they are totally without basis. They have basis, but it is very insignificant compared to the actual parameter that decide your life. The actual parameter that decide your life is law of karma. This nature's law, you don't understand, you don't abide by it, you violate it. No matter what you do, your life will become afflicted, miserable. You will have a lot of problems. That's why the Buddha actually, under the essential Dhamma, he asks you to contemplate every day. Remember? 5 daily contemplation. First 3 is related to our physical body, so that we are not deluded by it, so that we are not attached and cling to this form. That's why the Buddha said, you have to reflect. This body of ours is made of element, the 4 great elements. There is no knowing. So this one cannot be you. Then it goes the way of nature, following nature's law. Physical body follows physical law. That's why all physical things, there are causes and conditions for them to arise. Then when they arise, they are of the nature to decay, grow old, get sick, and finally die. Get sick means be diseased. The 4 phase cycle of all phenomena is the same. The birth, then the growth phase, or they call the arising phase, then the decaying phase, then the end phase of death, birth, death, like a tree, a plant, a human being. The moment you are born, then you start to develop the growth until you reach puberty. Then after that, you plateau off. Then you start to grow old, decay, then finally die. The plant also same, the tree also same. It grow until it mature. And then you start to see the tree get old, decay. Then finally, condition ceases to be. It ceases to be, it's gone. Every phenomenon is the same, even my voice that I speak. Every feeling that you arise, perception that you arise, activity of mind that you arise, your views, your opinion, your emotion and all those things. Then consciousness is the same. But some are very transient, very fast. So according to the Buddha, you have this right understanding means you will not be deluded by this form. So the 5 daily contemplation, you turn to your chanting book. It's on the page 17. Yes. So when you develop your cultivation at home, you have to go through this. That, I think last Thursday, PG asked how to cultivate contemplation. I explained already, the second turning. So now I will teach you how to develop the contemplation of this body, five daily contemplation. The first three concern our body. So you have to reflect. Together we shall recite. This body of mine is of the nature to decay and grow old, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay, for it goes the way of nature. You have to develop the clear understanding through contemplation until it's very, very stable. Then the moment you recite this, you understand it clearly, understand it? Because all nature's phenomena, all things that arise, they will undergo this four-phase cycle. Birth and death, in between the growth phase and the decaying phase. Even our universe is the same. Come into existence, expand, then after that, contract, then back to the decay phase, then it die off. That's why it will collapse. Then the next one is, this body of mine is of the nature to be diseased or sick, because it has not gone beyond disease and sickness, for it goes the way of nature. So if we don't take care, so disease and sickness can arise. Sometimes even you take care, it will still happen because of the DNA coding, the environment and all those things. So there's a limit to what you can do to this body. It's just like a car. Over time, it will undergo wear and tear. You know what is wear and tear? Whatever thing you use over a period, it will wear out. Then it will break down. That's why you need to replace them. Your car, same running part. Your aircon over time doesn't perform so well. That's why you need to service it. So this body also you need to take care. That's why you need to do some form of exercise. Then sometimes you need to do your regular blood test, medical checkup, and help you develop clear understanding of this body. So whenever you feel something, especially pain or itchiness or whatever they call numbness, then sometimes it's what they call rheumatism type of feeling. How you describe that? Shin tong, feng sub. How you describe that feeling? Chinese very good. I got shin tong. In English, I don't know what you call it. Sour and pain. Cannot, direct translation doesn't work. So whatever it is, it's the body's way of talking to you, understand? When there is pain, means it's telling you something not right. Be careful. Don't abuse it. Especially if you drink and until you drunk, you will feel like your head is like very heavy, and your heart rate also become very fast, pop, pop, pop. Then you lost consciousness in between. And these are signs. Then later on, as you get this overhang the next day, headache and all that thing. So it will show it to you through pain, through certain type of feeling. So the body has its way of telling you that it is not right. You need to take care. You need to seek medical assistance, or you need to do something to it so that it will not deteriorate further. So all these are the signs that will come through your awareness. when you have awareness, to be aware of all these things, you are very sensitive. That's why you must learn to know yourself clearly. Then when you see the doctor also, you can speak to them very easily, in very clear-cut term. Otherwise, you go there, doctor asks you what happened, don't know, dog. Headache, or I am not well, I just don't feel good. Then the doctor will ask further, which part not feeling well, in what way you are not feeling good. So you have to slowly describe. But sometimes the cause can be more than a physical thing. So if you encounter a good doctor, you are lucky because they are experienced and they can actually diagnose you very well and give you the correct medication. But sometimes it's not physical, it's your mental problem. That one you need to see another type of doctor. They call psychiatrist or such thing. Counseling, they send you for counseling. Then sometimes it's stress related. Sometimes it's fear, phobia and all those things. But all these are related to depression and all those things. Then there are many other causes to karmic. That one they cannot tell you, they cannot help you. But there was one doctor, I was told, Dr. K.C., a Western doctor. He's a Westerner, no. He don't believe in Buddhism, he don't believe in rebirth, no. He don't believe in karma. But he very strange doctor, no. He will somehow go into a trance. Then he will tell that patient about karma, no. Last time this is what you did and what you did. That's why now you got this and this and this. So you had to do this and this. So they recorded it, no. Then they later on wrote a book on all his case study. Last time Chief Reverend K. Sridharmananda used to quote him. They like his medical finding. And he got a lot of very good research records on real life patients. So all this is part and parcel of the human life. We have a human body, physical body, which is part of the karmically conditioned out form and mind, or we call it the human being. So the physical body is only one aspect of the human being. That is the form aspect. Then the Buddha said there is another aspect called mind, consciousness. And within this mind, consciousness and its content, you can subdivide it into further formal aggregates. Because our mind can feel. That's why they have the aggregate of feeling. Hot and cold. Painful feeling. Pleasant feeling. Nice feeling. So that is Vedana, the first aggregate. Then this mind can perceive. Whatever it sees, it can perceive through the seeing consciousness. Like the Buddha Rupang, the whiteboard, these fittings in this house, the lighting, the fan. Then you can perceive my voice through your hearing consciousness. Then you can perceive the fan through the vibration, the sound, and the wind that it blows. Tactile, you can feel them. Then you can perceive them too. So not only seeing and hearing, smell you can perceive. Curry, fragrant. Like the flower, incense, then taste, then tactile. So these are the aggregates of mind. Feeling, perception, then it can also think. It can also arise mental states, mental intention, mental formation. So whatever that the mind can do, that is the aggregate of sankhara, including feeling and perception. Then your mind can also become conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So these are your five physical senses. Together with your mind, the six senses, you can develop the six type of respective consciousness. So the aggregates of mind, four, plus the form, five. You got the five aggregates of form and mind. That's why the Buddha said the human being consists of the five aggregate of form and mind. This is the first aspect as a human being. Then later on, every moment of consciousness, whether seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought, there is also the five aggregate of form and mind in the form of mental aggregates. That is the second aspect, and that is the one that the Buddha talked about that you need to meditate on. We already know within every consciousness there is four aggregate of mind: feeling, perception, activity of mind, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your whatever deceitfulness, cunningness, mind state, and mental formation, or whatever that your mind can do, including consciousness. Then how does the form enter the mind? The form enters the mind through your aggregate of perception, where you perceive them. External phenomenal world, external form, enters mind through perception. That's why within every moment of consciousness, there is also the five aggregate of form and mind, and that is the more important one. That is the one the Buddha talked about in the dependent origination. Paticchasamuppanna, it arises every moment, every instant. So coming back to the five daily contemplation, we got one more to go. The third one, we recite together. This body of mind is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death, for it goes the way of nature. So finally, whatever there is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease. So the Buddha always say, what has arisen has already passed. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. So this is the reality of the form when the supportive condition no more ever go the way of nature, ever cease to be. That's why ever return to nature. The four elements were dispersed. First to go is your breath, then your heat element. Breath is your wind element. Then after that, your liquid element will ooze out. Then your padavi or form element, which is, they call it earth element, they will start to collapse. Then without the water, without the liquid, it will become powder. That's why finally even your bone will also decay and finally dissolve. Then as it become powder, it will be blown around, then return to nature. So this tree is to develop right view, wisdom, so that you are not deluded by it. So that when you grow old, you get sick, you are not foolish anymore, you are not heedless anymore, you don't complain, you don't corrupt, you don't cling. Why? Because you have contemplated every day. This body of mind is only element, not me, go the way of nature. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. And this is a common reality to all living beings. Always remember, you are not the only one in this world who is subject to this. So if you understand that this is a universal problem, that's why he called it the reality of life and existence, where each and every living being, you live long enough, you have to confront them. So what happens if you don't reflect on this? You don't develop the right view. You will complain, you will become afflicted when you grow old, because you deludedly think this physical body is you. You thought you had become so useless. As you age, your senses fail you. A lot of the things that you can do, used to do, now you cannot do. You have a lot of problem, rheumatism, dementia, then backache, then heartache and a lot of ache. Then certain part fail you. Your eyesight fail you. Your hearing start to fail you. Then, as you develop certain type of disease, paralysis and all those things, or stroke, you become vegetable, So during that time, it's very difficult to come to terms with this reality, to accept this reality, because through delusion, self-delusion, sakkayaditti, you are attached, you are cling, and you arise the wrong thought to become miserable, where you think this is you. That's why you will have this delusion in you, foolish thinking or wrong thought, or they call sakkayaditti, self-delusion. Then the fear, the worry, the anxiety, this is mental suffering. Then you start to project your thought, develop all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. That's how human beings suffer. But if you have reflected, then you tell yourself, if this is a reality common to all of humanity or living being, why must I suffer? Why can't I just accept this reality? Because this is not me. This is just the physical form, make of element, go the way of nature. So if I can have this wisdom and right view to accept this reality, then what happened to my mind? Yeah? You are at peace. You will not complain anymore, because this is the reality. Everybody has to go through. The only difference between you and those fellow who don't, or those people who don't have the right view and understanding, is they suffer. But you won't, because you have a contented mind. You have right view. You can appreciate each and every moment of existence. Whatever that is within your physical form that is still functioning, you are still grateful to it. You appreciate that this form after so long. It's just like a car, after you have used it for so long, it still serves you well. You have a lot of gratitude, a lot of contentment. Then once a while it breaks down, no problem. It has served me so well because you care, you maintain it well. Yeah. Then when it's time to, like the car, they say, beyond economical repair, means what? Huh? You have to condemn the car and then write it off and then buy a new car. But law of karma, this body you cannot overnight buy. You have to wait till, if you have to come, make sure you got good karma so that you come with another new car, which is a better car. Otherwise, you don't take care of karma, he will be born with a ujang. You know what is a ujang? A lot of problem one, sickness here and there, then a lot of defect one. This one not working, that one not working, aircon not working, temperature radiator very high. Drive for a short distance, overheat. If you are born with this type of body, how? A lot of things you cannot do. So law of karma is very important. Right view is also equally important. That's why this five daily contemplation is to overcome the first noble truth, reality. The first three deal with the first four, birth, old age, sickness and death, so that you are not deluded by it. He who don't deludedly attach and cling, then you won't worry about this body getting old, getting sick and one day die, because you can accept the reality. Before you can receive any medical attention or treatment, you have to endure. That's why the Sabba Asavak Sutta, the Buddha said, there are defilements that you need to undergo restraint, endurance. Restraint is precept. I undertake the training rule to abstain from what. So abstain, refrain is all precept. Then enduring is for your bodily condition. Like when you are in a cold place where the winter is very cold, you don't have enough food and shelter or clothing to keep you warm. Then you got no choice. You have to endure. If you cannot endure, you will become afflicted. Supper. So all these are understanding. So you need to keep yourself warm. You make sure you have enough warm clothing. Then in the meantime, while you look for it, you have to endure, you have to endure. Disease also same, sickness also same. So when you have a calm and peaceful mind, which has the right understanding and right view, to be at peace with it, then do what you have to do. And that is wisdom. Then you apply Noble Eightfold Path evenly to the end of all suffering. You must have right view to understand why you are what you are, like the Buddha said under the fifth contemplation. I think we will read the fifth contemplation first. I scared not enough time. Okay, read the fifth one. Each and every one of us, including all living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. This is the great law of karma. Since karma is so important, we must all take care of our karma. We are avoiding all evil, do good, and purify our mind to develop a strong karmic nature that can bring about a good life every time we come or choose to come. Thus, we should frequently contemplate and reflect. So this law of karma is very important. That's why no amount of all those foolish things you do, you believe in feng shui, jin wan, all those, or you go and pay 10,000, 20,000, some people pay 50,000, 100,000 just for a Buddha Rupang or an amulet. Or they say this one got a lot of power and that special achan or monk or long po bless already one, can protect you, can what. Their energy could be inside there. They can actually have something. But whether you can benefit from it depend on what? Depend on what? Depend on your karma, understand? Or? Like my teacher used to tell us, he said, the Buddha, their nature, and the great being, the Bodhisattva, their nature, they are ever ready thing for the cultivator of the way, understand? Or? They always give and give. But you must have the condition to receive. That's why you must be real, sincere cultivator of the way. Then only you can feel them and receive them. Otherwise, it doesn't help, understand? Or? Then, according to this nature's law of karma, nothing protect. That's why the Buddha, when he replied to one of the, I think it's a lay person who asked this question, what is the highest protection? The Buddha replied, virtue. What is virtue? When you have virtue, means you take care of karma, understand? Means you are incapable of negativity. You don't have all the evil roots. You are a very virtuous person, incapable of wrong thing, negativity. You won't harm people, you don't cheat people, you don't deceive people. You have great virtue, means you are very honest, very sincere. You are very wise, very capable. Then you have a lot of virtue. You are a very virtuous person, very generous, very kind, very contented, very respectful, very helpful. Then you have good nature. You are very noble in everything you do, the way you communicate with people. You have right speech, right skill in communication. Then the way you act, you have right action, means you don't do all those wrong action, like you don't kill, you don't harm, you don't steal, you don't deceive, you don't commit sexual misconduct and all those things. Then you don't partake intoxicant or alcohol or drugs that can bring about negativity or karma or lowering of your consciousness. That will make you very, very heedless, very low in your mind state when you live your life. Your consciousness is affected when you are drunk. you are not sober. You are most of the time drunk, groggy. He lapses into unconscious. That's why when you are drunk, you drive, you like sleep. you like blank off. That's why it's very dangerous. Then during that time, you don't know what is going on, and you can violate all the other precepts. So law of karma is very important. So when we understand this law, we will know how to heed the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. How do we avoid evil? We need to contemplate. That's why the essential dhammas are there. In the first essential dhamma, the Buddha taught puja. Remember? We better write down. Puja. Significance of doing puja. Cultivating puja. What are the significance? Why did you do puja? When you do puja, you reflect and you contemplate. What do you do when you start? Offering, isn't it? Correct? Offering, all the important significance of all this offering. Then you rejoice. Means you cultivate all the things that you develop there. Generosity, kindness, a good heart to rejoice in the wholesomeness of all things, in the generosity of all things, in the faith of cultivator, you rejoice. Then after that, you make offering to the Triple Gem. They are very meritorious. Then after that, you pay respect. Then you chant. When you chant, again, you pay homage, you recall to mind the great quality of Lord Buddha. That's how you develop your faith. Sada. Then you determine to go this way because you also chant the salutation to the Dhamma, the teaching, then the Sangha, the enlightened disciple. Then you renew your precepts. Renewing precept is to avoid all evil because those who violate their precepts commit evil. That's why there are so many benefits of cultivating puja. You not only develop spiritual faculty, you develop meritorious action, the joy, the happiness, the generosity. Then at the same time, you cultivate affinity with Triple Gem. You take refuge. Then you renew your precepts to avoid all evil, to bring about condition for no more negative karma to be added to your karmic nature. Then after that, you chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha so that you understand what the Triple Gem are. Then you know how to develop the cultivation. Then this spiritual faculty will help you overcome the mental hindrance. Then when you pay respect, when you keep your precept, they are all meritorious action. Then after puja, you have your Dhamma session. You share Dhamma, you straighten your view. Then you rejoice, you share merit, you transfer merits. Then you help out in the activity, provide service to the sasana, to humanity. So all these are very meritorious. So the 10 meritorious actions, they are all there. So puja alone can bring forth so many of these important cultivation. Then after this one is the second essential dhamma is your 5 daily contemplation. So your 5 daily contemplation, we have gone through 4, and they are also important. The last one is most important. So the last one, if you know you are each and every living being, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. If we are what we are because of karma, we need to be very careful about karma. So we need to take care of karma so that karma take care of our life. So how to take care of karma? The law of karma say you reap what you sow. Do good, we get good. Do evil, we get evil. Whatever you do to people, when there is condition in future, it will come back to you. So if you want people to be kind to you, good to you, you must have virtue, kindness. That's why you not only avoid all evil by keeping the precept, you cultivate the ennoblers of precept. You cultivate virtue. You cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, born of right view, following Noble Eightfold Path, following the Buddha Dhamma. So that's how the cultivation become effective and it can take off. Then as you develop this understanding, you determine, if I want to have the good life, if I want to develop all this virtue, what must I do? I must train my mind to be mindful, to be heedful. I must meditate. I must know the other essential Dhamma. So the other essential Dhamma, they come about immediately. So you have the pair of five mental hindrances and spiritual faculty, hindrances and spiritual faculties. This is one pair. Then after that, of course, is your four noble truths. Then, in order to avoid all evil, you must also know the three evil roots. What constitutes evil? That's why you have the three evil roots. You must go deep into it, not just what they tell you, greed, hatred, delusion, finish. You must understand clearly what is greed. Then only you can cultivate. Then, of course, within here, there is a Noble Eightfold Path. Then, the other one is dependent origination, dwelling. Then the four foundation of mindfulness. Four foundation of mindfulness. Then you got your factors of enlightenment. Seven factors of enlightenment. Oh, sorry. ENG. Oh, sorry. This one, no G. Okay, thank you. So, all this, slowly, you have to develop understanding. Then, of course, there is also the seven stages of purification. Seven stages of purification. Then you also have to be mindful of the 10 defilements of insight. As you cultivate, you not only keep the precepts, the precept we haven't put, advice of the Buddha, number 11, advice of all Buddhas. Then you cultivate precepts. Virtue. Virtue means you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then this one, last one is meditation. Avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. This one is not the full Noble Eightfold Path. This one you do the first five, I think, first six, until right effort. So this one, Noble Eightfold Path, the first six. Then this one, seven and eight. Noble Eightfold Path. Seven and eight is Sati and Samadhi, where the four foundation of mindfulness is. So these are the things that you need to go through, the essential Dhamma, that you have to cultivate until it becomes effective. Then when we talk about all beings, the Buddha said, we are all born of karma, head to your karma condition. The you or the I that he's referring to is this so-called human being, the segmented form of my karmically conditioned out. The vehicle and tool for you to come to this world. That's why it's not you. Understand? Don't be deluded by it. So this one follow karma. This one is subject to the law of karma. That's why the conditioned world within this is subject to the law of karma. So within the conditioned world, human beings who don't have the wisdom, they live this way. These are the senses, your six sendor. Your six sendor, your senses. So you don't know how to use consciousness. You only use it to create the five aggregate of form and mind. That's how the dependent origination of paticca samuppada keep on arising each and every moment when you live your life and you become conscious. Then this type of living is heedless, because heedless means you think a lot. A lot of heedless thinking. You think a lot. Then this is the five mental aggregate. This one arise is because, the five mental hindrance. Hindrance. Because of the hindrance, you don't have the spiritual faculties. That's why if you cultivate spiritual faculty, then you will not be heedless. The hindrance will disappear. Then you will not think like a heedless person. Then you will have more awareness. Then you make use of this nature of yours, the true mind before the thinking. And this one, the true mind, you use it to live life. That's why we meditate, to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to be silent without thought. This is the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative. And this one can see things clearly. This is sati. This one, through the direct seeing, it develops understanding, wisdom, right view. And through this, you can live life. That's like true living. This is true living. True living. To experience the third phase of Dhamma. This is called Pativeda. So when you live with this, through the direct seeing, you awaken, you develop the wisdom, the understanding. This understanding, wisdom is very important. And when this one arises, the form and mind will not be deluded by what it sees, what it hears, what it smells, what it tastes, what it tactile feel or think. Because there is no more wrong view, no more delusion. That's why it's no longer heedless. Even know what the nature's law, the essential Dhamma are. The nature's law that governs life and existence. So the law of karma. That's why it will not violate all this. It will develop heedfulness. It will cultivate precept. It will take care of karma. It will not go wrong. So this is the essential understanding of the whole cultivation. If you don't develop this contemplation until very clear, when it comes to cultivation, you cannot, because you haven't understood the essential Dhamma. That's why I say Pariyatti, phase one, is very important. Very, very important. Understanding clearly the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Then from there, you put it into practice, phase two, Patipatti. Putting into practice is to reflect, contemplate on all this. essential Dhamma, then put it into cultivation, then really, really do the third turning. Then when you awaken, all this, you don't have to remember. It's part of your nature, because it become a part of you, a living reality within your own form and mind. Because this wisdom that understand, the understanding, is connected to this form and mind. That's why from here, it can give rise to true living. So this form and mind, connected, it has this understanding or wisdom connected. The moment this is connected, then this form and mind, the living being, is no longer deluded. Means you can say this one is enlightened. This one is enlightened, but this one is not you, because this is your segmented form and mind, karmically conditioned out for you to use to come to this world. And this one, every life, it will go the way of nature. That's why this is impermanent, leading to suffering, empty, non-self, not you. So you deludedly cling, you become deluded by it. So if you cannot understand this, you cannot break free. That's why this wisdom is needed to understand, so that this form of mind, the mind, is at peace. No matter what happened to this form, no matter what happened to the world, no matter what happened to this human being, he's still at peace, because it knows this one is not him. The nature never dies. That's why it is completely without problem. That's why the Buddha, through this, he awakened. His problem solved. All is sickness and death. No more problem. Well, this one is not him. That's why he awakened to the true nature. And he realized that nature never dies. It has eternal life because it was never born. Whatever that is never born, never go through old age, sickness and death. That's why there is no one born, no one die. So all this understanding can be realized if you put in the appropriate right effort to cultivate sincerely this life. And it's not difficult. This life, the condition is there, it's very easy. I saw the message from Sri Anna when they all went to Wan Na Long. Long Po Tong Bai also told them the same thing. You can read the message. I forgot already. I saw it in the WhatsApp. He said, use this one. Find the actual one. That's why people who understand, they will tell you all this. You send it to the Wat Na Long spiritual trip website, I think. But that one got a lot of news every day. After we pass the mic to people, let's see and read.
Okay, so brother, sorry, Lam Po Tong Bai, when we met him, he gave this advice. He says that the body experiences birth, old age, sickness and death, whereas the mind experiences greed, hatred, delusion. So if you make the body still and the mind peaceful, you will have vijja and vimutti.
Liberation. Vimutti is liberation. You know what she is trying, he is trying to tell you or not? He said the body experience all this so-called old age, sickness and death, which you term suffering. But if you have wisdom, like the Buddha says, suffering need not be. So if you got wisdom, like he say, vijja, then you don't have to go through all this, because this is not you. Then likewise, he said, you can steal your mind. Means what? There is no evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion. You won't become evil. Then you liberate. Vimutti. So this is a very good advice for people who understand. That's why they say the body not them. Body experience all this. Then the mind that is deluded experience greed, hatred and delusion. That's why they become evil, they fall. And that's how suffering comes to be. Because whatever that has the evil root, Dhammapada verse 2, verse 1, if you act, speak and think with an evil mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, suffering will follow you like the wheel that follows the hoof. So this is very clear cut. So if you understand this, you will understand that the mind without delusion, when you just silence the mind, still the mind, it will develop the direct seeing, it will awaken. You will understand. That's why you will have no more delusion. So when there is no more delusion, you will not cling, you will not attach, you will not hold. That's why no more problem. Okay, pass to Mi Feng. Mi Feng went better. No, just now you add still the body and mind. Okay. Okay, same. Can. Keep the body still and mind peaceful. So those who have the Dhamma, they can share with you. So there is no secret as to awakening. But you need to strive on with heedfulness, means train your mind to be heedful, and then only the possibility of developing this understanding. If you are not heedful, almost impossible. That's why heedfulness is very important. You must cultivate until, like I told PG today, because we used to have dinner when she fetched me. Then she said nowadays she more mindful, at least when at home. And while driving, then I say the best one is in the midst of life when you do your work, when you have nasty boss, demanding boss, stressful environment, you can still maintain awareness, sati, and have clarity of mind. You will progress very fast. So this is what cultivation is all about. Train your mind to be heedful, to be mindful. So that you can be most of the time aware in the midst of life. Start with your activity at home. Because when you are at home, you are more in charge. Your senses are not fully mobilized. You most of the time are doing routine things that you understand. Then you can develop mindfulness easily, better. Because you are more in charge. But when you are outside, you have to face the world. And you have to do a lot of what they call activity to develop the ability to communicate with people, to do your work duty, to interact with people. So at any one time, even when you are driving, your senses are almost fully engaged. Then most people have this habitual tendency as you drive, you think. Because you want to solve your problem. You think about your problem, then you worry about office, after that what to do. Then as you do that, you actually become heedless, lost in thought. But because your senses are still in front of the road, that's like all of a sudden there is a emergency, then you like panic, you slam on your brake. But if you have been mindful, heedful, you can anticipate all this and you will know. And you don't have to like suddenly slam on your brake or what, unless it's an emergency from somewhere. Otherwise, most of the time you're aware, you are silent. You got little or no thought. Then whatever arises, you are with the moment. You are aware of it arising. You are not lost in it. That's why after that, you maintain awareness of whatever traffic condition and all those things. Otherwise, when you are lost in thought, heedless, you reach the traffic light, what color also you don't know. You just stop. Then people horn you at the back. Well, green light. Oh, you say sorry. Then you drive. Because you are thinking. And the worst is, when it's green light, everybody go. You thinking, you also follow. But actually, that fellow beat the red light. You didn't know. He actually saw the other car, yellow light, try to rush through. Then the car behind, by the time he passed through, already red. But you happy-go-lucky, you think everybody go, you also go. Oh, then you can. That's how you need to be mindful, hateful. When you drive, just drive. You tell yourself, I can answer my phone call later. I can think about all these things later. I have to be attentive with the moment. And that is what living is all about. That is what activity in the midst of life is all about. Oh, we still got time. Then we go to the fourth contemplation. Huh? So the fifth one, I think you understand. Huh? Now, by now, you should have good understanding. Then the fourth one is the missing link of the balance of First Noble Truth, reality. We read together. All of our loved ones, wealth, property, or other prized possession, etc., which we held on to so dearly, they will all one day separate from us, and all we separate from them when our breath stops. So this one you have to reflect so that you are not foolish, so that you will not cling on to them. You cannot own anything. You know why or not? Huh? Why? Why you cannot own anything? Like the Buddha said, this very body also don't belong to you. So how can a conditioned arising entity own anything? All these are temporary. When the conditions are there, it appears you own. But when conditions cease to be, overnight, no more yours. When your identity erased, where is the I to own and to have? It's just like Kuwait and Iraq last time the war. Overnight, Kuwaiti government also gone. Central bank reserve all gone. No longer belong to them. And the people lost their welfare. The whole country taken over by Saddam Hussein. See? When condition change. Last time, communist China also nationalized all of the people's asset and foreigners' asset and money. During that time, my father's the ancestors' house, because my father migrated over to Malaysia already, so also cannot nationalize. But good, you know, after that, when he went back during the 80s, they returned to him. Via that time, China opened up. They returned. They go to the village head. They got all the record. Once you mention your name, they know which family, which generation, and all the record are there. Then you say, okay, you can claim your property now. Because Chinese government decide to return and all those things. So, condition arising means whatever that arise, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. So, you have to reflect and contemplate. Each and everything that we come to experience or perceive in this phenomenal world, they are neither created nor destroyed. They come about through natural condition. Like how the living being is born into this world. You don't need a God. No God is required. You must have father, mother, conception, then the birth process and all those things. Then there are conditions for everything that arise, like this house, how it become what it is. As a civil engineer, I will know. PG also will know where he's in this industry. So the developer will have to engage consultant to come up with the drawings. Then the planner submit the planning approval. Then after that, consultant and the architect develop the design. Then after that, you have to hire a contractor to construct them. But before you hire a contractor, you can launch sales. That's why they got sales and marketing. Then investor go and buy. So if Suyan is the original buyer with Mifong, then they can buy. Then after the contractor finish, they deliver. Then they move in, they renovate. And the condition is that it will become what it is now. Then since the year, I think, 2008, I think. He allow us to come and meditate until now, coming to 8 years. Huh? So the condition is there. That's why we can be here doing all this. Any of the condition prior to this, not there. We are not here. We cannot be here. If Ng Bi and Mi Fong, mainly Ng Bi, don't invite me to come and share here, all this will not happen. Understand? Then if either Sujan or Mi Fong at that time don't agree to use, allow their house, this one also won't happen. That's why condition Dhamma is like that. Whatever prior to it, any of the condition cut out, then it's gone, no more. That you don't have the condition to encounter this teaching or sharing, you also won't be here. That's why a lot, like that day I share with you all at my house, Tuesday class, Monday, the Bodhisattva way, my second last teacher. He also repeated, affinity, condition, and faith, very important. You don't have the affinity, the condition, to receive all this, you can never, never come into contact with it. So all these are part and parcel of cultivation. That's why you must develop and cultivate a lot of sincerity, faith, persevere, and understand the nature's law. Then you aspire, you make aspiration. Then you ask for forgiveness to break your karma and all those things. Then you express your gratitude, your respect. Then after that, you request for their future guidance, protection, and blessing. Then through all this, through your affinity, your respect, everything, you create stronger affinity. Then through your vow, through your whatever wholesome mind, you can develop a lot of affinity. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path, Goan, Perfector, Right Living, do not underestimate that one. If you have Dhamma, you have virtue, you have kindness, sincerity, the Noble Eightfold Path with you, you will have that Perfector of Right Livelihood or Right Living. Means whoever you encounter in life, because you are very sincere, you are very kind, very generous, then you are very virtuous, means you are incapable of negativity. So through your interaction with all the living beings over the aeons and aeons of birth, you only need to encounter at least one true cultivator or virtuous one. Your parami already full, because that one will give you great blessings. So, sometimes do not underestimate what you do. Simple thing, like kind gesture to help people, provide them with whatever, medication, food, shelter, or whatever. Sometimes they come in different form. Especially a lot of Bodhisattva, during the early day, like Kuan Yin, Hussein, Wen Su, they all. Sometimes you cannot recognize them. Even Manjusri, remember? Hui Ning, what did he say? Even Xu Yin, they came as beggar, understand? Very haggard. You cannot recognize them. You have the what they call snobbish attitude. Then not only you miss, you may create a lot of negative karma because you look down upon all these beings. They are no different from you. They are what they are. Even the deluded one is because of their ignorance. If they don't have ignorance, their nature too will be like you, beautiful, very virtuous. Nobody wants to be that delusion. Nobody wants to go through that type of life, negativity or karma. So coming back to this fourth contemplation, this one relates to separation from loved ones, your possession, your status in life, your reputation, and whatever you hold on to dearly. So separation can come in many forms, through death, through relationship failure, through forced separation. So all these are separation. And this reality is very common in this world. So that's why these are all the realities. So when it happens, always tell yourself you got two choices. If you are deluded and heedless, you will lament. You will worry about it. Then become miserable over it. But if you don't have the heedlessness, you have right view and understanding, you will be able to understand that these are realities of life and existence. During crisis, if I am not careful, separation will occur. You make a wrong call, wrong decision, separation will occur. That's why you have to be very, very mindful. You have to be very wise. And you have to have a lot of understanding. Then sometimes the reality of birth, old age, sickness and death leading to separation. These are reality. You got no choice. If it happened, the condition is such, it has already happened. You got two choices again. Become angry, then react to it and become miserable over it so that you suffer and become afflicted, or accept that reality, yeah? And be at peace with it and tell yourself, like what the Buddha said, whatever that is of the condition to arise is of the condition to cease. What has arisen has already come to pass. So no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the day. And this is a very good reflection. So that during separation, you won't cry. There is no more tears. You have done what you have to do. Because while they are alive, feel a piety towards your parent, your kindness towards them, your generosity towards them, your gratitude towards them. Express them. Thank them. Give them love. Make them feel good. Instead of holding on to your anger, your hatred, your vengeance towards them for petty things that they have done towards you or what you perceive of them. But you never have the sincerity and the gratitude and the respect to recall what they have done for you. They not only give birth to you, they give you life. They sacrifice so much for you. They provide for you. They care for you. They look after you when you are sick, when you are young, when you are just a baby and a fetus. They sacrifice and love you so much, they did everything for you. But you never have this gratitude towards them. When you grew up, you neglect them. And this is the karma you will carry. In future, you will have children that do the same to you because you didn't do your duty. Yeah. So when you have gratitude, feel a piety, develop the good mind to express your kindness, your gratitude, your contentment, your respect towards them, and thank them for what they have done for you. You give them joy, you give them love, feel a piety, respect, and all those things. In return, these are your good inheritance. You will have children who care for you, love you, provide for you, and understand you, and express their gratitude towards you. So this is what life is all about. You reap what you sow. Whatever you want, you must not do out to people that you don't want others to do to you. But whatever you want people to do out to you, if it's goodness or kindness or what, this is what you must do to people. Do your duty in accordance with the nature's law properly. That's why my teacher, Ajahn Yantra, very good. First thing he tell me is, when I met him, he said, Mr. Teo, he never called me Brad Teo, he called me Mr. Teo. He said, always remember, right duty is right tamak. Dhamma in Thai is Dhamma. You know, the moment I heard that, I was full of joy, you know, because I understood this nature's law of karma. Right duty is right Dhamma. If you do your duty correctly, means you follow this law of karma. You don't violate them. You reap what you sow. All of the wholesomeness, goodness, blessing, virtue, merits will come back to you. That's why right duty is right Dhamma. So do not be heedless. Do not neglect your own duty. As a parent, you have your duty towards your children, your parents, your loved ones, and your whatever relationship with subordinate or employee and other things. There's a Sika, what Sika Loada Sutta, it's all mentioned inside there. So we have a duty towards society. We have a duty towards our fellow friends, Kayanamita, or living beings, towards our loved ones, towards our neighbors, towards all beings that we have relationship with. So do your duty correctly. Even towards nature, you have your duty. If you pollute nature, nature will pollute you. So in future, you will get into trouble. But if you preserve nature, if you really develop love, compassion towards nature, you will be born into the future with abundance from nature. Nature will provide you back the way you have actually helped to provide and sustain nature. So do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, wholesomeness will come back to you. You plant the seed of evil, evil will be the fruit of your action or whatever you do. So in future, you have to face them. You cannot escape. So why do you want this type of life? This is not what our nature should allow to happen. Because when you understand all this, you will never be able to violate all this. That's why every life you come, you are different. You become so beautiful, like you are very blessed. Like everything go your way. You don't have problem. Hopefully today's sharing can help open up your heart. Whenever you want to do something negative, always reflect on karma. You reap what you sow. If you are foolish enough to neglect your duty, you will become afflicted in the future. So small thing you cannot take for granted. You have to develop the good mind, the kind heart, the love, the compassion, the virtue. That's why kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, goodness, these are very vital virtue. Then generosity, then rejoicing, then love, love, compassion. So that caring attitude is very important. Then learn to love yourself more and more, so that don't allow yourself to be harmed, to be hurt, so that you know how to use your thought appropriately. The right view, right thought is very important. Right view condition right thought, then right thought condition right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's why without wisdom, without right view, you cannot live life. Nobody for past start with right view. Oh, 5 more minutes. You got any question or anybody want to maybe add on anything or share anything or ask any question, you can. The question has been answered. Well, everything is karma, so don't be deluded by all this feng shui thing. They have their basis, but it plays such a small part in your entire life. Understand? Because like the Buddha said, you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. That's why I said 99.99% is karmically driven. So you go and do all those things, it's just belief, rites and ritual, understand? Feng Shui has its basis, understand? But it plays such a small role. What is Feng Shui? Man and nature must harmonize. That's why you got the Feng and Shui. Wind and water. They say Feng Shui. They say you stay in a place with good Feng Shui, you will have good Qi. good luck. You believe that or not? That one got truth, understand or not? But what for? Every time I depend on good feng shui to protect me, then I cannot go out of that place, understand or not? Every time I out of that place, how? And even that feng shui is not going to remain always the way it is. What they understand is just the element part, the physical formation of nature. But as you know, our planet is always on the move, rotating, understand or not? So different time is at different point in space and time, under the influence of different planets, star system, galaxy, and all those things. Then human consciousness is all different. Then the main thing is law of karma, understand or not? Then you go and believe all this. To me, it's not much use. Of course, if you have good qi, the air you breathe also more healthy, then less tendency to get sick in it. But all this is at the expense of what? Like your bank account, law of karma. You got your credit and debit, your good karma. You go for good feng shui means what? You use up your credit earlier, that's all. All the good condition you use up. But when no more credit ready, how? No matter what feng shui also, you will get into trouble, understand? No amount of feng shui can help you during that time. That's why I went and tested this. That's why I came to understand. They used to tell you junction house bad luck, isn't it? You heard of it or not? Don't buy. I say you got the Dhamma buy, cheap and good. Because I stay in junction house before. I rented a junction house in SS2, Road 99. But really it has its effect, because junction house means what? It's a flow path of energy. You understand? Flow path of energy. So good qi, bad qi all come. So when it come and hit, what happens is, most living beings without the Dhamma, without the cultivation, they have a lot of negative karma, nonsense. That's why good one, they cannot get, because not enough good merits. They say in Cantonese, saum heya. Understand? Cannot receive because you don't have the parami to receive. Your karma not good enough. But the negative one, you got hell a lot inside your coming nature. So all the, they say, kaulat one, you sure got the type of negative karma. That's why you kena kau. That's why junction house, if you don't have good karmic nature, you go and stay, you cannot like anything. So when I stay there with my wife had me no problem. But my son, the hand got compound fracture. Then one of the other brother got a very minor motorbike accident. Then after I moved out, the new tenant, I saw the Kam Long Yi. He told me $20,000, that one. Very, very beautiful. I think 3 feet long easily. And very beautiful and alive. I saw it in the aquarium on the first day he moved in. Oh, it's a beautiful fish. Yeah, this one worth $20,000. They offer me, I don't want to sell. Then the next day I went there and checked my letter. I saw the aquarium no more fish. I said, what happened? I said, sweet. I said, my wife. I said, what happened? Your wife cannot be purposely going to kill. He said, no, he got to spray mortin until the cockroach nowhere to go, jump into the aquarium, then the fish eat. That fish also, 20,000 gone with the wind. Oh, then I said, sorry, I said, what a condition for this thing to happen. He said, no choice. I said, bo ban huan la, hokkien lang. He said, happened already, he said, never mind, he said. Then I said, how you feel in your heart? He said, even if I don't feel good also, what can I do? At least he has some wisdom there. He said, already happened, died already. He didn't scold the wife. He just tell the wife, next time be careful. Then after that, I was told he got one son, also compound fracture, the ladder, the staircase. See? Junction hall. Then after that, I give him a hint. I say, you better check. I heard people say junction house. if you don't have the good paramiya, you tend to have a lot of problem. Then he looked at me. He said, "Yeah, yeah." He said, "When you stay, God or not?" I say, "For me and my wife, I don't have." I say, "But my son also kena." Then my brother, minor motorbike. Then I think not long, he shifted out. He gone to another place. So feng shui, he has his basis. They tap on the good qi and all those things. But it's just like creating the condition for good karma to come to for you to use. Like your money in the bank, you withdraw first. But every time you depend on all this, draw, and there's no more money. So what are you going to depend on? With all the great feng shui, no life, no more money in the bank. So you have to take care of karma. You don't take care of karma, no point. The key thing is karma. All these things they ask you to do, shift your house, renovate here, put this corner, that corner. Then the famous saying is what? Pointer arrow. Negative energy, is it? Negative arrow energy shooting at your house, is it? But another person's property, you cannot do anything. Then he says, sell this chip, go somewhere else. After spending so much money, you go and believe all these things. Then some even believe what? No. Go and respray the car. No? Is it your car color very bad? Is it? No luck. You spray red. Yit chair, yit hole. Is it? You go and spray. After pay, don't know how many thousand spray, it become worse condition. Then is it your office? No. Need to check your office. Check. Do also doesn't turn around. Because it's your karma, nothing to do with all this. So when you cannot understand, all this make you gullible. That's why heedlessness can bring about a lot of wrong view. Okay, we better end. Sadhu. We do the sharing of merits. We chant in Pali enough so that we save some time. Sharing of merits to the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu lokasasana itta watta chamehi punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina ame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Yeah, I'm busy. postponing the SUPA charity dinner because the dinner is Saturday night, 7 p.m., so please come early. I still have got three more tickets with me. Anybody wants three tickets to give away? Anybody wants that? The other thing is that next Thursday is the last Thursday class of the month. But he was away in Australia on May 19 and 26. May 12 is the last Thursday class of this month. And you have any?
Yeah.